Oh, boy. I have to make a confession first off here, guys. I received this just a couple days ago. It's your outline in the text that's been given to you. When I was originally given the study for today, it was the Skip's messages over the past 3 weeks. So most of my time has been immersing in Skip's message and listening to it over and over again and just getting an impression. So that's what I'm going to give you today. I think with what I give you, you're going to be able to develop it into this. And it's going to be rich and strong for you. Stuart, thank you for the worship. I think if I had a better title for what I'm going to share with you guys today, it would be that. Holiness. Holiness. Make me holy. But we're talking about today standing strong in the midst of life's challenges. And thank you, Colonel, for the inspiration, the motivation. And, you know, I was a little dejected when I saw that, kind of felt like I was missing the mark a little bit. But you gave me boldness to say, you know what, we got to still stand and deliver. And got to give you what the Lord has given to me. I need to ask one question, though, real quick. Is this the Men's Challenge Ministry?
Yes.
Are we sure?
Yes.
I got to make sure I'm in the right place, you see, because I'm going to be challenging some men today, and I want you to walk away from here today feeling challenged, so I need to be sure. I want you to do a couple things for me, and that's ponder, read, ponder, and reflect. Those three words, write them down, read, ponder, and reflect, because that's how you go forward from here. I want to give you what's not just for today, but I want to pour into your lives for the next month until we meet again. So my teaching will cover a little bit from Skip's teaching a little bit. I'm not going to cover all of the points, but he spoke of holiness, meeting hostility, 1 Peter 3:13 through 17, a reason for every ouch, 1 Peter 3:18 through 22, and the invisible war, 1 Peter 3:18 through 22. Skip spent twice on that text. I usually like to read ahead and plan Skip's messages and kind of make my own outlines and then watch Skip punch holes in it when I come Sunday morning. So I challenge you to do the same. I want to talk on this. I want us to walk away from this lesson today. Listen, guys, without any excuses, with a firm understanding of your duty and responsibility, of maintaining, listen, gentlemen, the integrity of your manhood. Listen, primarily through the pain and suffering that life often inflicts upon us as men and that we encounter and go through as men, in this life as men. Guys, like in the military, in the martial arts, and in ministry and so forth, there's a uniform that is required that we need to wear in the battle, in this war. And this is a war, gentlemen. It's a fight, if you will. And the uniform is, listen, the image of Christ. Christ-likeness. Listen, Isaiah 61:10, we read, I greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Alan Redpath writes, give up the struggle, guys, and give up the fight and the fight. Relax in the omnipotence of the Lord. Look into his lovely face and behold him. He will transform you into his likeness. You do the beholding. He does the transforming. There's no shortcut to holiness. So we're here to grow, to transform, to allow God to bring that transformation into our lives. So it's to gear up, measure up. This means God's challenging you to play in the game. You have been called to a specific and unique position, time, and place. And that is to play your part, do your part. It is important to the whole, the big picture. Listen now, the position of your play is here. It's where you are. The time is now. The place is here. And you must start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. You got to evaluate your equipment. Are you ready? Are you geared up, guys? Can we do this thing?
Yes.
All right. So evaluate the equipment God has given you, the tools. And weekly, Skip gives tools. Monthly, we give tools. And so the target is, listen, wholeness and holiness. Genesis 17:1, when Adam was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Adam and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Sounds like a challenge to me. Can you meet that challenge? No? We're having some difficulties out here. So standing strong in the midst of challenges. In the midst of suffering as a man, in a man's world, our challenges, my challenge to you is in this as well, is to stand strong. And the challenge in the midst of suffering. And what does that look like? Skip's message, again, that first week was when holiness meets hostility. Let's read it real quick. I'm just going to kind of go from verse 13 a little bit there, breeze through this really quick. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats or nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks and a reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they may defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God for you to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Our outline that Skip developed was, normally goodness is profitable. Yes, he taught usually, but not always, is it? Right? Eventually, persecution is inevitable. Practically, reasons are beneficial. Inwardly, conscience is indispensable. You remember that? We learn our faith is not neutral. We cannot put it in neutral, live in neutrality. It is a powerful dynamic force that challenges us to, and it changes our behaviors. That is, if we live in genuine faith, exercising and expressing genuine faith in our lives. Belief is also a powerful force, as well as when believers try to live out their faith in an unbelieving environment, there is that predictable and unavoidable result, and that is hostility. Your good acts are going to be met with some hostility. How do we really usually respond to hostility in our environments, guys? How do we react? Sinful? Yeah, I hear a lot of answers out there. Most of us, most of the time, listen, we get angry. We get mad. We get bitter, resentful, abusive, hateful. We antagonize back. We get back. We cop an attitude. We argue. We backbite. We get frustrated. We get depressed. We get perhaps drained, debilitated, meaning depleted of energy and motivation and strength and enthusiasm, defeated, disgusted, disconnected, despondent, which includes emotional withdrawal. We can feel displaced and distraught. Did I miss anything? Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. This all manifests in many ways, primarily in our attitudes and sinful responses, as someone said. R.C. Sproul, pastor and teacher, most of you know him, strong Calvinist, we'll forgive him for that. But he says, anger is not in itself sinful, but it may be the occasion for sin. The issue of self-control is the question of how we deal with anger, violence, tantrums, bitterness, resentment, hostility. Even the withdrawal into silence, these are all sinful responses. And chiefly, we have the tendency to take it out on our wives and sometimes our children. If no one else, we take it out on ourselves. And that manifests itself in many ways, addictions, habits, behaviors, responses, and reactions. And I call these vices. I call these pacifiers for us. We retreat to these places, and there are pacifiers. They give us comfort. They're our method of comforting and consoling ourselves. I call it the binky. You got any binkies in your life? So what should you do when your holiness is met with hostility? Now, hostility can come in forms of our temptations, lust, pornography, addictions, alcohol, drugs. These are the biggies. But guys, let me challenge you to consider some of what we talked about just now and the attack and suffering of disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, depression, disdain, disunity, despair, disharmony, which is an expression of, which is, expresses itself in discord and continual disagreements with others. How are you living? How are your relationships around you? What do you see manifesting themselves in these areas? Which of these things speak to your condition? Sometimes we really don't know how we will We're dealing with these things until we step back and examine ourselves and other men around us, and we allow ourselves to be transparent and exposed and challenge other men, and that we would allow them and godly men to perform surgery into looking into our character and knowing who we are and opening up our hearts and issues of life. Our text asks some important questions here for us today. Verses 13. And who is it that will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Bottom line, no one and everyone. Answer, no one and everyone. Who will harm you? Someone is going to let you down. Someone's going to hurt you. They're going to hurt your feelings. You're going to suffer persecution. The Bible teaches and calls us to joy, but it also calls us to suffer. Philippians 1:29, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. At one time or another, hardship will come to you, especially if you make a bold stance for righteousness and stand up for what is good and right and true. And on the other hand, no one. Because many choose to suffer in silence, private, in this little cocoon, in self-focusedness and in self-absorption and pity and even pride, which is known as pride. Saying, I'm not going to let anybody know what I'm going through. It's just me and God, man. And that's where pride begins to manifest itself. We know biblically we are to share our burdens, share our joy, share our sorrows, Galatians 6:2, and be filled with the love of Christ. Share our burdens. But it says that here we are blessed. You live in God's favor. He loves you. He died to make you his very own possession. Anytime you can wake up and look in a mirror and see a reflection looking back at you, he's not finished with you yet. He's working. Next verse tells us, and do not be afraid, nor be troubled. Do not fear. Because fear has to do with judgment or punishment, Scripture tells us. We read 1 John 4:17-19. Perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, one who fears is not perfect in love. Exodus 20:20, listen. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. And so we know that there's an outworking of this whole idea of not fearing nor being troubled before God, the boldness to overcome sin. Therefore, the answer to fear is love, perfect love. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us love is patient and kind, and all of those things there we don't have time to unwrap. But from there is where fear is conquered. Deuteronomy 1:21, look, the Lord God has set in the land before you victory. Victory before you. You go up and possess it. As the Lord your God, your fathers have spoken to you. Do not fear nor be discouraged. The greatest definition of fear I ever heard is that fear comes from knowing that your life is not pleasing to God. Think about that for a moment. Is your life pleasing to the Lord? Otherwise, fear can come in. Next we read, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense for everyone who would ask you a reason for the hope that is within you. Gentlemen, this text means we are admonished to work towards holiness, work towards being an apologist. Be ready to give an answer, it says here. You have been called to a royal priesthood of all believers. You must live and strive for that equipping, for that gearing up. This also speaks to the fact that Christ died and suffered, not only that we share in those sufferings, but that we would also be transformed, changed, grow into spiritual usefulness. And that's the whole purpose of the study and the work. Next, verse 16, fourth, and lastly here, having a good conscience of good conduct, Acts 24:16. So I strive always to keep my conscience before God and man. How's your conscience? Let me ask you. How's your conscience? Does it bother you? Have you struggled with it lately? Is there something that's bothering you there? I would like to share a poem that my dad raised us boys with in this home, and it was something that he challenged us to live by. And I'd like to share it with you. The poem is called Myself, and it's by Edgar Albert Guest. And this is the poem. For I have to live with myself, and so I want to be fit for myself to know. I want to be able, as days go by, always to look myself straight in the eye. I don't want to stand with the setting sun and hate myself for the things I have done. I don't want to keep on a closet shelf a lot of secrets about myself and fool myself as I come and go into thinking that no one else will ever know the kind of person I really am. I don't want to dress up myself in sham, which is pretense. I want to go out with my head erect. I want to deserve all men's respect. But here in a struggle for fame and self, I want to be able to like myself. I don't want to look at myself and know I'm bluster and bluff and empty show. I never can hide myself from me. I see what others may never see. I know what others may never know. I never can fool myself, and so whatever happens, I want to be self-respecting and conscience-free. Amen? Timothy tells us in 1 Timothy 3:9, they must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith and a clear conscience. 1 Timothy, the goal of the command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Finally, the key, standing strong, is found in the final verses of this text. Verse 17, we read, "For it is better, and it is the will of that if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." We have to know good. We have to be able to define good and live according to what we know and understand is good. And be, as Colonel said, call to action. Stand up and get busy getting involved. Next, Skip gave a message of reason for every ouch and the invisible war. There's a reason for every ouch in this invisible war. Have you pondered that? The invisible war around and about us here. Perhaps the most common word in the English language he shared is this tiny word, ouch. Pain is a messenger that demands all of our attention. For many of us, it manifests in attitudes and ways hard to overcome or even deal with. What pain are you in today? What are you going through in your life? What ouches are you in bondage to, perhaps plagued with in your life? Ouch is a word that conveys pain and suffering. Peter's audience here knew all about suffering and pain. They were going through a lot of trials at this time. Peter's whole epistle here in 1 Peter is about pain with a purpose, understanding and grasping the idea that we're dealing with pain with a purpose. In Skip's message, he covered the points. Suffering provide the best examples of both the power and usefulness of suffering for us. He highlighted that Jesus' crucifixion shows purpose. It helps us to understand and establish our purpose as we look back on the cross. Jesus' resurrection shows permanence. Knowledge to you develops develop into permanence in your walk and in your faith. That resurrection, as you look back upon that and reflect upon that resurrection life and how it sealed very precious promises for us. That Jesus' proclamation shows planning. It helps you to plan your path. For without planning, all of our efforts will fall away and our direction will go astray. Jesus' exaltation shows power, encourages you to be bold, to be bold. In every war, it demands a strategy. Strategy plays a huge role in the success of the combat. Each side plans and makes movements according to what it learns about the enemy's tactics and strategies. And this warfare is all around us. And it's very real. And we can be blind to them. There's a very spiritual war going on around us. If information is leaked, you expose yourself. A counteroffensive can be launched against you and can be seen in the grand, most profound war in the universe, the invisible war. And this is the battle. Satan's minions wage around us, and his angels and his people suffer and deal with. In acoustics, in sound engineering, background noise, ambient noise, is a sound other than sound being monitored or primary sound desired. Background noise is a form of noise pollution and interference. We all carry with us in our lives and through our lives background noise, interference, pollution there. At times we want to move background noise out of the way, such as aggravating hum, buzz, or knocking in electrical devices. We buy the software programs and we get in there and we try to remove some of that. Well, in God's program, in what we read in our scripture today, there's a program designed to remove background noise. And it's an invisible battle that we face where this noise comes from. Ephesians 6:10 highlights that battle. Often in our lives, men, we are faced with background noises. This could be hurtful things you've encountered in the past. Sometimes that have been things that have been done to you. Could be something you're going through right now. It keeps you from hearing clearly God's word. And it becomes a struggle. You try to tune out that background noise and overcome in many kinds of ways here. And focus in on what we know we need to hear. This pollution aggravates our focus in Christ. Even pain can also be background noise. I want to look at pain for just a quick moment and close with that. It's a little bit different vantage point to look at this. I'd like you to grasp for a quick moment. I want to see this. Christ's pain and suffering had and has some periphery effects. For one, it produces purpose. Two, it reveals a plan. Three, it came with proclamation and exaltation. First, it produced purpose. Even if there is one who suffered for doing nothing wrong and everything right, it was Jesus Christ, his suffering, that he might be brought, that he might bring us to God and help us to overcome that. That's effect, verse 18. Jesus' proclamation shows planning, 19 through 21. The plan was to destroy the works of Satan. He was victorious over Satan's plan. God has a greater purpose in our suffering, and that allows us to also be victorious in the same place. Tony Robbins says setting goals is the first step in turning the invisible to the visible. Having a plan, his plan was before time, God's purpose in Christ's suffering, that this invisible world would be made visible for us. And that we would see and our spiritual eyes would be open and we would be able to know what we're dealing with in that invisible world. Alistair Begg says the only true conqueror who shall be crowned in the end is he who continues the war, the war's trumpet, until the war's trumpet is blown no more. Christian, wear your shield close to your armor and cry earnestly to God that by his Holy Spirit you may endure to the end. In verse 22, it came with a proclamation, Christ's exaltation. It shows power that God has over our circumstances. The desire is not only that we would see and know him, but to see and know the spiritual battle around us and fight the good fight. Not only that, but we would also fight that hidden human nature of our persons. That is to reveal the hidden state of character of our own man. A little over 2 years ago, I was involved in an accident, very serious one at the corner of Lomas and Eubank. And in that accident, I found 2 months later I had actually broken my back in that accident. It put me through many trials, rocked my world. But you know, we men, we know how to handle pain, do we not? Do you know how to man up? Do you know how to deal with pain? Do you know how to carry a cross? Do you know how to bear it, guys? Talking to you now. Do you know how to do that?
Yes.
Do you know what it means to man up? Are you good at being a man and bearing the struggle and the trials that you face in life? I'm glad there's a pause. He's saying, you got something in this thing. Yes, there is. Because while I was bearing up and manning up, I was bearing my pain and suffering, the shots in the spine and going through all of the therapy and everything else and showing everybody I can bear this thing and I can carry on. You know, at home I'm grunting, getting up and I'm going to get into this and go for it. But there was trouble in my home. There was something brewing in the background. There was some background noise happening and taking place that became so loud and it became to disrupt my home and my family, my relationship between me and my wife. I was going, what's going on here? There's something just not quite right. And you know, before she blew up one time, I arrested the whole situation and said, what's wrong? What's going on? Talk to me. Let's talk. What's going on inside of you? And she helped me understand that all the time I was spending time manning up, bearing, going through all my trials, there was something I was neglecting and I forgot to see, something invisible. She was going through something as well, too. I never had a clue. I didn't have an idea. I was so focused on being the man and manning up and getting through it and bearing that I wasn't thinking about her. We can do that often. We're so busy in our manning that we forget that there's a periphery that we have to be focused on and be concerned with. My wife told me that day I lost my husband. He's not the same man he used to be. You see, honey, there were things you were able to do around here. And even though I didn't say anything, I knew what you were going through. And she was bearing up. She was manning up in ways that I could not. And it was too much pressure for her. And I started learning that how I go through my trials, how I go through my suffering, I have to be aware and sensitive to the periphery. What's the effects of this suffering that I'm going through? And make sure that it all works towards a benefit, a good result, a good final effect upon all. I don't groan and moan anymore when I get up in the morning. I jump and pop out of bed and I'm busy washing dishes and doing all the other stuff I can do. And I'm slowly watching that how I go and handle my suffering and bear it up as a man, that it can have a positive effect upon my wife. Our relationship is getting better. We're blossoming and blooming. Let's blossom and bloom too. Let's get in our groups and discuss these things and discuss this. In closing, guys, I want to say this. One final thing. Victory comes with planning. C.S. Lewis said, a man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put the sun out by scribbling the word darkness on the wall of his cell. You know, one of the biggest tools that we have for overcoming, guys, is to repent, is to come before God and confess our sins. It's to have a relationship with him. Skip said, Neil said earlier, he's the man of men. He's the God man. He's the one. He's the model. He's the representation. He's everything that we need. His words give us the strength and endurance. But I want to challenge all of you with something really quick here, and I'm done. This is it. I want to see how big of men you are, how strong of men you are. Because one of the biggest steps that we take is coming before Christ and giving our lives to him, committing ourselves to him. Is there anyone here man enough to say, I haven't committed my life to Christ yet? And we know that they always ask us to come forward when we do such a thing, and that's kind of embarrassing. But I want to embarrass a lot more of you. How many of you before God know you need to repent of maybe sin in your life? Maybe some trials or issues that you're going through in your life. Maybe some areas that you've failed. Maybe some areas that you're battling right now. How many of you men enough to say that? In raising your hand, you're coming forward. You're stepping up and saying, hey, I'm bold. I need to come before God and know that there's some things I need to change in me. I'm not whole. I'm not complete. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't turned around and given God my all. How many of you are really ready to give God your all tonight? Make a commitment today. I'm going to live in giving God my all. One, two, is that it? Come on now. Come on. It's a big commitment, isn't it? Some of you realize the greatness of that commitment and the hands aren't going up. I want to challenge you to ponder and think about that. So with your groups, consider these things.